John 16:7, it says, "It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." There's the promise. There's the promise that Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 is talking about. He says, "I'm going to send you the Comforter." 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." That's the baptism of the Spirit. Not to be confused with water baptism. Water baptism is simply an outward expression of an inward thing, that a change of heart, an inward thing that has happened to you. Water baptism is an outward expression of that. It's a way to visually see outside what has happened on the inside. And what happened on the inside? The Holy Spirit of God indwells our lives at the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, and the Bible declares us new creatures. New creatures. We go into the grave underwater as one creature, and we come up a new creature. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the moment of our sealing. The moment we give our lives to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God indwells us. We are baptized into one body. The body of Christ. The bride of Christ. Children of God. Now, let's get a little deeper. What about the meaning of that sealing? We're told we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Jesus Christ promised that if he didn't go away, the Comforter couldn't come, so he needed to go away, and that way he'd send the promise, the Holy Spirit. And when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at that exact moment in time, and it says we are sealed. What on earth does sealing mean? What does a sealing mean? That's as important, because this is where so many Christians, this is where so many denominations of Christianity mess everything up. This is where they get so confused instead of simply reading what Scripture says. Listen, I'm a sinner. I sin all the time. It disgusts me. It makes me angry. It frustrates me. Because I love God so much. I am so grateful for what Jesus Christ did for me that I want to live holy and perfect for him. I can't do it. Because my flesh is sin. It's frustrating. But understand something. Even though my flesh is sin, that's my body. My flesh, my body is flesh. And one day you and I will be rid of our bodies. Amen? We will be rid of the sin nature that rots our bodies, that cancers our bodies. We will be rid of it. But who we are is our soul and spirit, and our soul and spirit is in Christ. So what's the meaning of being sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise? Well, first of all, that seal is a mark of authenticity. Remember, we understand how to interpret Scripture. We've learned that here. We don't interpret Scripture through my opinion, through your opinion, through our feelings. We don't interpret Scripture through what tradition might say or experiences we've had. We interpret Scripture with one interpretation, and that's the Holy Spirit's interpretation. And only the Holy Spirit is worthy of giving us his interpretation of Scripture that he wrote in the first place. So we've got to study to show ourselves approved. Study the Scriptures, not study man's opinions or the experiences of life or history. We study the Scriptures. What does Scripture say about itself? In this case, what does Scripture say about sealing? Sealing. Esther 8:8. It says, "Write ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you. He says, whatever you want to write, write this for the Jews in the king's name and seal it with the king's ring. Here's our word, seal. Scripture interprets scripture. What does sealing something mean? He says, seal it with the king's ring, for writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Doesn't get any more clearer than that. Remember what we've learned. The historical true events of the Old Testament provide pictures of New Testament truths, right? Now, I know we've talked about this before. So the king would wear a ring, and that ring would have an imprint in the ring. And the king could take this wax. My mom used to have one of these. I think I've told you about that before. And you'd light the wax, and it would drip some wax onto the paper. And then you could take the ring, and you could stamp the ring into that wax. And that was a seal. It was a seal of authenticity. In other words, whoever received that letter could look at that letter and be like, woo, it's got the king's seal on it. This is authentic. This is from the king. It doesn't have some other person's seal. It's got the king's official seal on it. This is from the king. This is an important paper. And look what it says concerning the seal from the king's ring. No man may reverse it. All right? Now, we could stop right there. Say amen and thank God and be just fine. It says everything we need to know right there, but God doesn't leave it at that. God makes sure we understand everything His Word says. Understand this, the distinguishing mark between someone who professes to be a Christian and somebody who actually is a Christian is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's the King's seal. If the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you are authentically His. You're the king's, the king of king. Right? But the seal is not just simply a mark of authenticity. It is a mark of ownership. It's a mark of ownership. John 10:14. John 10:14 says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. In other words, Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, knows whose sheep are His, and His sheep know He's theirs. I'm His. He's mine. Listen, ownership of livestock, it's still done this way. You know what the proof of ownership is of cattle and sheep and goats and all that? You know what the proof of that is? It's a branding. Right? They take a branding iron that has some symbol that represents that farmer's symbol, and they burn it into the livestock. We all know this. Now, that being said, the seal of the Holy Spirit in our lives is a mark of ownership. God knows who His are because there is a mark on you and I. Thank you. There's a mark on us. You might walk around and try to pretend you're not His. You might walk around and continue to live in your lifestyle of sin. But God says, that's my boy. And by the way, you can live like that if you want to. But if you're God's boy, if you're God's girl, He will put some discipline on you. And if you won't listen, He'll call you home. Understand that. Romans 8:9 says, But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Listen, if the Holy Spirit's in you, you're of Christ. If the Holy Spirit is not in you, you are not of Christ. You see, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God is a mark of ownership. It's a mark of ownership. The mark of the Holy Spirit in the Christian's life is a brand you've been branded with that cannot be reversed. It is irreversible. John 10, 27 and 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. What was that word, folks? Eternal life. It doesn't say life until the next time they sin. I give unto them temporary life. No, it says eternal life. Can we just read Scripture for what Scripture says? He says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish unless they sin again. Is that what it says? Unless they commit a really bad sin again. Is that what it says? Can we just read Scripture for what it says, right? Amen? And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's human. Ladies, you are woman. Those of us that are not woman, we are man-man. We are all human, right? And this verse tells us, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Just who on earth do we think we are that we can pluck ourselves out of the hand of God? Verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. My father was a big man. My dad was 6'5". His hands were massive. I have yet to meet another man who has hands the size of my dad's hands. Now, I teach in a very rich school district, and I say that just simply for us to understand. There have been some very, very, very wealthy people whose kids have come through my class. I have met several football players, NFL football players, okay? I've met several NFL football players, and I've had conferences with them. I may or may not have had a conference with them just so I could meet them. I'm just teasing. I didn't do that. But I've met some of these NFL players. They've come into my classroom to have a conference about their son. And another time I had a daughter. And I'm telling you, you know what I did? I looked at their hands. I looked at their body size. And I'm like, my daddy was bigger than that. And I'm telling you, he was. Carolyn could attest for that. That man was huge. She's got a brother that is 6'10", but I got to tell you, his hands are nowhere near the size of my father's hands. This was a huge, massive man. It was like trying to hug a tree, and you're like, man, I can't get all the way around. Now, why do I say all that? Why do I make that kind of jest? Look what it says. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. My daddy is bigger than your daddy. That's what Jesus Christ said. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Amen. Man, we got a big daddy. Our Father is big. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your heavenly Father is the biggest daddy of them all. How full of pride must we be to think, I can do something to pluck myself out of the hand of a big daddy like that? That's pride. We think ourselves something bigger than God, to be able to do something called sin that could actually pluck us out of the hand of God. You see, the sealing of the Holy Spirit is not only a mark of authenticity, it is a mark of ownership. You and I, if we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are His, and no man can pluck us from His hand. Thirdly, as we look at this word seal, that the Holy Spirit is a seal, the seal is also a mark of security. Look at verse 14 of our text. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14 says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Earnest. We don't use that word very often, but I've used it several times. Anytime you've made a purchase of a car or a home, how many of you own your own car? Okay, the rest of you are just renting. How many of you own your home? Oh, that's kind of hard to say because most of us, the bank still owns it, right? But the same thing is true. Listen, if you are a homeowner or a car owner, when you went to make the purchase of whether that house or that car, you had to put down some money, didn't you? You didn't. Well, I did. I had to pay for it. And that money is called earnest. That money is called earnest. That's the legal term for that money. It's called earnest. We put down a down payment, and that down payment is us saying, listen, I have every intention of buying this car. I have every intention of buying this house. Now I'm going to start the paperwork to supply the rest of the money. Okay? It's called earnest money. We typically just call it a down payment, but the legal term for it is earnest. Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. You have been bought and paid for. We are a purchased possession of God Almighty through the price that Jesus Christ paid. And because we have not been collected yet, understand something, you and I have not been collected. Our soul and spirit is already seated in heavenly places, but where's our body? Our body's still down here, being conformed to the image of God. One day we are loosed from this body and we are given a heavenly body. Amen. That heavenly body will not suffer. You can't fall and skin your knee. You can't fall and break your arm. You can't bump your head and get a big lump on it. You'll never say ouch again. Or when you've reached at least my age, you start saying more than ouch. It's ugh. And all kinds of other noises. Okay. Jeffrey's sitting there going, I don't know what you're talking about. Yes, you do. You listen to your dad. He's already making the noises. Pay attention. Listen, one day we trade this body in. But we don't just get rid of the aches and pains. We get rid of the sin nature. We get rid of the sin nature. God collects us. He completes us with our heavenly bodies. And understand something. At that moment, we no longer need the Holy Spirit. Now, I know in the past I've taught you that we cannot lose the Holy Spirit. We can't lose the Holy Spirit in this life. But we don't need the Holy Spirit when we get to heaven. Thank you. You see, in heaven, we get a new heavenly body. We don't need the permanence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit anymore. At that moment, the Holy Spirit no longer indwells us. We have a new body that does not have a sin nature. Until then, God gives us earnest money. He gives us His Holy Spirit to seal us, to say, listen, I intend to bring you home. I intend to take full possession of you. But until then, you've got some earnest money. You've got my Holy Spirit. And see, the Holy Spirit is our security. He is a mark of security. Romans 8:23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. That's the aches and pains. That's the sorrow and sadness over our sin. We groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit. That adoption is complete when? To wit, the redemption of our body. When our bodies get cashed in and replaced with a glorified body in heaven. The Holy Spirit is the first fruit. We have the first fruit of the Holy Spirit while we're here. Now, hold on a minute. What, the first fruit? Well, we know that through sanctification, as we are being conformed to the image of God, slowly but surely we begin to look more like God the Father, right? That's called the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit living inside of us. An apple tree produces apples, apples. A Christian produces fruit of Christ. We look like Jesus. We begin to look more like the Father. That's the fruit of the Spirit. What's the first fruit of the Spirit? It's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that seals you until the day of redemption. Until the day your body is cashed in and you get a new glorified body in heaven and you no longer need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit because you're in the presence of God. Physical. Right there. The earnest is until the redemption. At that point in time, we lose the Holy Spirit. Listen, we are not merely sealed by the Spirit, but we are sealed with the Spirit. He is the seal. Now, notice in your bulletins today, right? I told you they felt a little different. They looked a little. How many of you saw and felt the seal that was on there? See, I've got that right here, right? Carolyn used to work for a law firm before we got married. Even after a couple years after we got married, she still worked there. And I don't remember why she got this for me one day, but she used to be a notary. Carolyn used to be a notary. And so she could take one of these and, right? And it was an official seal that this was an official document, binding legal document, right? Well, I don't know why, but she got me this little seal. I don't know if you can see it, but I went ahead and listen. This is an important one today because it's been official. This is officially from the library of Benjamin L. Hartley. Might want to keep that one. It's been sealed. Thank you. Everybody knows I'm just joking. It doesn't mean anything other than we spent more money on paper and ink. Okay. But there I got that little seal there, right? Now that seal from a notary, it guarantees that. Now watch this. Here's the cool thing about the Holy Spirit. You ready? Like right now, do you have this in your hands? No, but I do. So right now you got that seal. This is so cool. When you go to a notary, the notary comes up and they punch that seal in there at paper and they hand you the paper and you walk off with the paper. But that's not what the Holy Spirit of God does. Understand something. You come up, you get that paper sealed, then the Holy Spirit puts his stamp on that, and then you walk away. The Holy Spirit's going like this with you. Everywhere you go, he's going with you. Holding on to the tool that's holding on to the paper. I got you. We're going to make sure this is mine, and it's sealed from God Almighty. He's all over with you. You understand that? The notary comes with you for the rest of your life. And he lets go when you're finally there. Right? Man, that is cool. I don't have the king's ring. I got the king walking around with me, keeping me sealed until the day of redemption when I no longer need that sealing. All right, let's finish this up. We see the glory of that seal. The glory of that seal. Look back at verse 14 of our text in Ephesians 1. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. You ready? Unto the praise of his glory. It's all for him. It's all about God. It's all about Jesus. Our future inheritance of glory is assured with the seal of the Holy Spirit unto the praise of God's glory who gave us the indwelling Holy Spirit. I want you to notice this. Go back in verse 6 of our text. We all have our Bibles open. We're in Ephesians chapter 1. I never put our main text on screen because I want us to have our Bibles open so that we can be taking notes in our Bibles, writing down cross references. So that what we hear today becomes something we have to carry with us in our Bibles so we can always go back to and compare Scripture with Scripture. So we have our Bibles open. We're in Ephesians chapter 1 and we're looking back at verse 14. It says, unto the praise of his glory. Look at verse 6. Do you see that same phrase there, unto the praise of his glory in verse 6? We've talked about rightly dividing the word of truth. Sometimes the Bible couldn't be more obvious of how it's supposed to be divided. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, that's everything before that was the work of God the Father in planting the church. And the work of God the Father in planting the church was unto the praise of his glory. It wasn't for your glory. It's for his glory. Then we came to the next division of the chapter, rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 12, do you see the phrase in verse 12? You see it there? Unto the praise of his glory. Because from verse 7 to verse 12, it was talking about the work of God the Son in paying the price for the church. But then notice the third division in the chapter. Here at the end of verse 14, it says, unto the praise of his glory. You see, the third division of this chapter is very clearly the work of the Holy Spirit in sealing the church. You and I collectively are the church. And we have each been sealed unto redemption. We cannot be lost. So let me ask you a couple questions and we'll be done for the day. The church is God's glory, and the degree to which your life does or does not point others to Christ, that's what giving God glory is. Pointing others to Jesus so more people worship God. So, the degree that your life does or does not point others to Christ is the degree that this local body is able to point others to Christ. Did you hear that? If this local body is going to point other people to Jesus Christ, then the members of this local body, right? We are one body, members. My fingers, my toes, my arms, my hands, my ears, my eyes, my nose. These are all members of my body. Christ is the head. And if this local body of Christ is going to be able to reach people in this community for Jesus Christ, the fingers, toes, eyes, and ears, and nose, and all those parts, the members of the body have to be working correctly. You know what happens when the members of your body are not working correctly, right? Listen. If this church is going to be an effective tool for reaching people for Jesus Christ, we cannot afford for any of the members of the body not to be working. We all have a job to do, and God has blessed each and every one of us with abilities for his honor and glory. So the question becomes, do our lives as members of the church of God reflect God's glory? Does your life honor and glorify him who sealed you? Because if it was up to you and me, we would lose our salvation. Thank God it's not up to you or me. It's up to him. And he did it all for his praise, his honor, and his glory. Will we return the reflection of God's glory to the world around us? Let's pray.